In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, our Redeemer taught us by word and example to pray always. Because of the weakness of our will and the strength of our spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we have an essential need for continuous prayer. Our Lord said we ought to pray always and not to faint. Only by doing what Christ said and by following his example will we be able to persevere in God's grace and save our immortal souls. St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori remarks, "He who prays will certainly save his soul. He who does not pray will certainly lose his soul." Jesus Christ gave us a sterling example of this. In spite of the fact that his days were busy preaching, were fully occupied with prayer and labor for the salvation of souls, our Lord often spent the night in prayer. According to St. Luke, he passed the whole night in the prayer of God. Over and over he said to the apostles, "Watch ye and pray. The flesh is weak. If you do not keep up your prayers, you shall fall." And because some of them eventually thought that these words of our Lord constituted a counsel only, they completely missed the point. This is why they fell into temptation and sinned, even though they were in the company of Jesus Christ. If we abandon prayer and our spiritual obligations, we will fall into habitual sin and will become spiritually blind. On the other hand, if we consistently pray with perseverance, humility, and confidence, we will be able to gradually break the bondage of sin, lead a virtuous life, and maintain continual peace of soul, even amid suffering and spiritual trials. Commenting on the choice we have of whether to follow Christ's words and example or not, St. Louis Marina Montfort wrote that if you do not mind committing a mortal sin or two and going to confession, if you're willing to commit sins which are considered respectable by society, you're probably a person who says only the minimum amount of prayers and an occasional rosary. Since those prayers are more likely done at your convenience and haphazardly and without concentration, they're not enough to fulfill Christ's demand or preserve your soul in sanctifying grace. A tiny prayer at night and morning and an occasional rosary will not sustain you in the spiritual warfare which will go on throughout your entire life. Obviously, that type of apathy shows a lack of concern for your immortal soul. On the other hand, St. Louis Marina Montfort says that if you are genuinely concerned about your soul and want to follow Christ and never commit a mortal sin, and if you want to break Satan's traps and keep them from ensnaring you, then you must pray always as Jesus commanded. You must pray the rosary every day. Of all the prayers recited by the laity, the rosary is the most efficacious if said with devotion. St. Louis continues by saying that we're constantly being exposed to the strong current of the world's wickedness by which many a strong soul is swept away. We're in the midst of the thick, clinging darkness which often blinds even the most enlightened souls. We're surrounded by evil spirits who, being more experienced than ever, knowing that their time is short, are more cunning and more effective in tempting us. It will be a marvel of grace wrought by the Most Holy Rosary if you manage to keep out of the clutches of the world, the devil and the flesh, and avoid mortal sin and reach heaven. If you want to live and die without sin, at least mortal sin, pray unceasingly. Say a rosary every day. It's true that occasionally all of us become overwhelmed with our duties and responsibilities. However, time for the rosary must be made. No matter how busy one is, a little bit of time from television or your computer is always to be had. Nevertheless, if it's too difficult to pray the five decades consecutively, we can recite sections throughout the day. When illness or urgent duties prevent us from praying the rosary, we are excused, but must be careful that it does not become a pattern. For that is how Satan, step by step, gets us to stop saying the rosary altogether. one slip-up can easily lead to another until we begin to make excuses for our negligences and eventually are out of the habit of praying altogether. That's how Satan works us. By habitually omitting our morning and evening prayers and our daily rosary, we are rejecting God's grace, and as a result, we will easily fall into sin. Further, we will lack the wisdom and strength to live virtuously. St. Louis Serena Montfort encourages us to persevere in praying the rosary even when we suffer from spiritual dryness or find that it becomes difficult to pray. He says, even if you suffer from dryness of soul, boredom, or interior discouragement, never give up the least bit of your rosary. On the contrary, like a real champion of Jesus and Mary, you should continue even without seeing, hearing, or feeling any consolation whatsoever, and concentrate the best you can on the mysteries. When faced with such a difficulty, we should imitate our Lord by praying longer and with more intensity, just as he did in the agony in the garden. For St. Luke writes, being in an agony, he prayed the longer. The rosary should be recited in a spirit of faith, for Christ said, believe that you shall receive, and they shall come unto you. If you firmly believe that you will receive what you request from Almighty God, he will answer your prayers. God will say to us, as you have believed, so be it done to you. We must pray with a great confidence based on our Lord's promises and his infinite goodness. He loves us so much, he yearns to bestow his graces and favors upon us. We make our Lord happy when we ask him for graces. And if we do not ask, he makes a loving complaint. Hitherto you have not asked anything. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Furthermore, to give us more confidence when praying to him, he has bound himself by a promise that his eternal Father would grant everything that we ask in his name. Let us not, however, confuse this with expecting God to answer our prayers according to our expectations. We know God is all-powerful and can do all things, and he does answer all prayers. Nevertheless, we must remember that he wills only what is best for us. We are often too ignorant of what is best, and sometimes without knowing, we ask for what may be harmful. Therefore, we must pray with confidence, but with the contingency that God's will be done. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane is our model. The efficacy of Mary's intercession has been experienced and celebrated in all ages of the Catholic Church. By means of it, the most hardened sinners have converted, and by the fervor of their penance have edified the church, which had been scandalized by their conduct. By it has many a wavering heart been confirmed in its virtue, many a lukewarm soul aroused to practice virtue. As we pray for the conversion of poor sinners, especially our friends and relatives, we can find encouragement from this true story, which demonstrates the power of the rosary. An experience I had while in basic training at Lackland Air Force Base, San Antonio, Texas, convinced me that Our Lady indeed is the most powerful means to obtain God's grace. 1 week before Easter, all Catholics were urged to go to confession. Enlisting together from Flint, Michigan, Jack Serbick and I naturally chummed around together. In our 4th week of basic training, I asked him to go to confession with me. Looking stressed, he curtly replied, I haven't been to confession in 4 or 5 years. That's all the more reason why you should go. I'm afraid to go. Come on. No. He stiffened with fear. Walking away, I took my rosary from my pocket and prayed it for him. 15 minutes later, I was back challenging him. You better go, Jack. I kept insisting. The more I persisted, the more he resisted. Finally, I blurted out a bit adamantly, okay, Jack, have it your way. But you could be dead in 6 months. With that statement, a dramatic change came upon him. In 15 minutes, we were in the back of the chapel. With anxious voice, I said to him, wait here, And I'll talk to the chaplain and soften him up for you. I begged the priest to be compassionate. He smiled, nodding his head approvingly. In minutes, a trembling Jack walked into the confessional, only to come out radiant with joy. One could not deny the great serenity in his heart, which reflected in his face. Confession was a balm his frazzled spirit needed. Now his life was in order, and he was beaming with happiness. Soon our training was completed. Jack was sent to Laurie Air Force Base, Denver, Colorado, to receive advanced training in gunnery, while I was to go to State College, Pennsylvania, for training in office work. We corresponded weekly. A furlough was planned for December 10th. We could hardly wait to be reunited. In all of Jack's letters, he would talk about his return to the sacraments, his love of the rosary, and his newfound peace of mind. One unusually warm December 3rd, I picked up my mail from home and dashed to the post exchange, where I would enjoy a cup of coffee while reading my mail. I was thinking, 7 more days, and I would be with my family and Jack. One rather heavy letter with additional postage from my mother aroused my curiosity. Quickly, I tore it open. Unfolding the first page of the second section of our hometown newspaper, the Flint Journal, I froze with horror as I saw a large picture of Jack Serbik with the caption above, "Flint Airman Killed in Denver Crash." He was dead 8 months after I was inspired to tell him he could be dead in 6 months. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.